こんにちは。You are now listening to part 2 of the July 18th. Jimmy, do you want to show?
You guys about ready to go?
Might as well. Let's do something. I don't know what.
Jimmy, fresh as a daisy, just love how she obeys me, does things that just amaze me so. She smiles, press goes the rainbow. She blinks, up from the rainbow's car stops, even the train goes slow. When she goes by, she brings sunshine on every rider.
What is this? What the hell is this? What is this? Leave it to Beaver time or something? What did we switch shows? What happened here?
Man, I gotta like do a few things to keep our listeners up.
Confused.
Very confused.
Totally confused.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. We're back at the Jimmy Doan Show. How are you guys doing?
I love when EJ writes in. You know, he comes in. Chilly, I'd say things are warming up precipitously. In fact, the temperature might rise to 5,000 degrees. Too fucking sweet. More cool than chill. He's talking about the global warming. It's just...
Right. Yep.
Technology is Pandora's box, and the curse is set free. Hell, we've been training our adversaries for a century, if not longer. Sooner or later, some schmuck tired of waiting for God, Jeebus, Allah, or aliens is going to strap on his ideology learned at the government you propagated it. Kuransaurus Rex U to form some WMD, and I don't mean white milk or dark, just to move things along to prove his commitment. And Western minds have allowed empty rhetoric, fucking hollow words to fill in where common sense and wisdom once ran. This is from EJ. God love him up there.
I love how he says, what will the worst generation spawn? Generation last.
Yeah, that's right. Right. The greatest generation spawned the worst generation who spawned the generation last generation. That's it. And it just is interesting to see. This has to do with the Israeli-Iran thing. You know, the fact that there was a piece that, I guess, did you send it around? Who sent it around, the piece that had to do with what the options were for Israel and Iran? You know, and Iran is putting together their missiles and their...
That didn't come from. Was that? That wasn't.
It might have been from. Might have been from Colorado, but it was somebody sent us the thing that said, "Here are the options that are open that to Israel, to the United States, to Iran, and you know what's going to happen: Mideast blow up, atomic bomb, bomb this, bomb that, and so forth." And so
bomb, bomb,
did not
bomb,
look good.
Bomb,
did not
Iran.
Look good. And of course, this EJ wrote in, and I guess this was kind of a thing that is once some mullah or whatever it is over there in Sandland or whatever
gets Sandland.
You know, decides to
Sandyland.
Yeah, decides that Allah has decided to nuke Israel, for instance,
right,
or vice versa, whatever, send one over there. I mean, you know, all hell breaks loose and
right.
Then what happens? And of course we've always said here, at least I've always said
then they fight and we sell.
Well,
them.
No, but the problem is we're gonna stick our big fat schnozola in there, as we do every time. And, you know, somebody's going to ask somebody, you know, as the planes take off out of...
Hey, little help, please.
Yeah, little help, right. As the planes take off out of, you know, Bethlehem or whatever it is and fly over with their warheads.
I mean, the war planes launch from Nazareth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Man.
And, you know, get over... And, of course, you know, the Iranians, if they're doing the A-bomb thing, I mean, I doubt if they've got a big arrow that says A-bomb production here.
Right.
On the front door or anything like that.
Like a Roger Rabbit sign or something?
Yeah, right. I'm guessing. I could be wrong here, but I'm guessing it's like underground.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, I'm guessing the Israelis know where.
Understand.
Well, even so. But even if they know where two or three, five of them, ten of them, I mean, you know, they might
know.
Well,
in fact, they photoshopped a missile in one. There was somebody with it.
Yeah, right.
Got leaked out there. They had three missiles that they fired. I guess somebody photoshopped a fourth one in there.
Yeah. Maybe they'll just Photoshop an A-bomb in there and see what happens, you know, when it blows up. Oh, we Photoshop. Thank you for that.
No, I was just helping.
I understand. You're just helping out. But it is interesting to wonder if, as EJ points out, you know, if something like that starts, I mean, where does it end? It reminds me a little bit of the, in case people don't know their history, they're destined to relive it, the Archduke Ferdinand in the First World War, he was assassinated by some crazy person, and it resulted in the First World War, which was just millions dead, you know, horrible things happened, the whole deal.
Can't let it go, just one dude dying.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And of course,
mustard gas, trenches, all that.
Exactly. And so, I mean,
but everybody made money off the war.
Well, a lot of the arms people did. And the technology came along pretty well during the time. I mean, machine guns, you know, improved dramatically, which is always a plus. And now we don't get to have them.
They like helped out with some technology as well. But
that's right. Airplanes, good, you know. And I was disappointed. I was out there, you know, when I was out there at Hangar Dogs, by the way, did you see the picture of me in the yak?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, you have to send that for me to see it.
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, I'll have to. It looks like an elderly plane. It's like a 9-cylinder radial, you know.
Yeah, it does look old.
Well, it's an old yak, but it's, you know, it was a war plane.
It's a Ruski.
It's a Ruski trainer, right?
That's right.
But they use it for aerobatics, man.
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go up in it because Grandma and everybody had decided that, you know, I'm sitting there saying.
But Grandma didn't want to go up in the plane?
And I tell you, and not only that, I mean, you know, they had to go shopping or something, so I had to go along. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, I got to do.
That's just like, I'd be like.
No. I tried that. The deal is that.
That's when you just barricade yourself in the hangar.
Well, easy for you to say. Right. Easy for you to say, but unfortunately, that's the way the trip went.
Then it would be.
Well, I'm going out there next time.
Yeah, you're gonna Stitch is like, yeah, I'll take you up in the yak, or you can go shopping with Grandma and your wife.
Yeah,
and you went shopping.
Yep.
Yeah, there's
talk about
there's something wrong with you.
Something definitely.
Go over there.
Well, no, you have to understand. By that time, I had been totally beaten into submission.
Right.
I mean, I've been riding around in this.
You started off
in this half Apollo sized.
You
capsule.
Got your man card revoked on this trip.
Stomped on, destroyed. You know, shredded.
Hi there, my name's Jimmy Doan.
Yeah. That's Adam Carolla coming to the door. Yank his man card away.
Yeah, that's it. it was gone that time. That was too bad. So anyway, do you all got anything else of any particular thing? There's been, you know, all kinds of neat stuff, but I did see that, you know, speaking of airplanes, we're all going to have to go to Oshkosh, of course. But
and Jeff Dunham's going to perform there, that rat bastard.
Yeah, I know, that rat bastard. and of course, Stitch and the crowd, they're going up there, of course, and they get to see Jeff Dunham. I hope that they will take a surreptitious camera and tape it, because you know he's going to make some funny airplane stuff.
Yeah.
That is not going to see the light of day anyplace else.
No. Stitch, you need to get a big cowboy hat with a little hole cut out on the top and put your VCR camera in there.
The Canadians had seized some guy's airplane. He made an emergency landing. He was taken off the United
States.
Emergency landing in Canada, right. You know, like over the border. And they stole his plane, and it cost him $1,000 to get it back.
Right.
You know, he's in hail, lightning, tornado, storm, everything. Emergency landing in Canada. F you. That'll be $1,000 to get your plane back. I'm thinking, what are these guys? You know, and that, of course, I think I mentioned that on the in Hangar Dogs. One of the things about July 4th was one of the biggest revenue weekends for across the country. I mean, it was stunning to see.
Well, I can't believe that. Was that Sammy that you were talking about?
Yes.
That got...
That Sammy.
You might want to tell our listeners in case they don't...
What happened was if you... I'm thinking about starting up a website called Lake Havasu Sucks.
.com, .org, anything.
Yeah, really. Seriously.
I'll search engine target it for you.
Why? Yeah. They have a great spring break there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. They have a deal where it's called Hose. Get as much money as you can out of the tourists. We don't care if they ever come back. And what happened was that my little niece went for she'd been staying at a hotel and everything and had a good time. They're getting ready to leave. So they basically checked out of the hotel and said, you know, we're going to take one more dip in Lake Havasu. So they put on their little, and she's like a hot chick, totally hot, 18 years old, whatever. Put on a little skinny bikini, and they went out to jump in the water. And on the way, what they did is they were picking up some beer cans off of the beach because there's no littering.
Uh-huh.
So the cops come by and got them for open container. First of all. And then said.
That sounds like a story to me, man.
Well, okay, whatever.
Right.
No, the fact is that they caught him with nothing. There was no booze or anything involved at that point. They unfortunately had not watched the tape, so they confessed to some things that they probably shouldn't have, but it was still not anything that you would think. The main thing that they got fined for, as my understanding, was not having their ID on them. It is, in Lake Havasu, you have to have your ID on you at all times. Now, I understand they're going for a swim, and they're in the bikinis, and they'd had their purses stolen once before, not this time, but, you know, so they'd locked their purses and everything in the car. mm-hmm. which was in the motel parking lot that they had checked out of, but they were going to take this last swim. So they said, where's your ID? They said, what's in the car? They said, well, we have to go to jail. You're supposed to carry it on you. So they hauled him to jail.
Are you kidding?
No. Took them to jail. Took him in front of the judge. The judge said, that'll be $1,000 fine for not having your ID. Which is, you know,
And they're standing there in their bikinis.
In their bikinis, right. So they said, well, we don't have $1,000. They said, well, you're going to have to go get it. So they put them in jail overnight. With nothing. That was nothing. You know, no blankets, no concrete floor, jail, you know,
bikinis.
Should have
said, judge, if you let me stand out in front of this courthouse for a while, I'll probably get $1,000 pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, again, she's 18 and didn't understand, you know, what she could have done, which would have been maybe to strip down or something.
Right.
You know, whatever. I don't know. And that would have been something. Anyway, so then she wired, you know, the father-in-law or somebody, one of the other girls, and got, and if they said they gave her $250 off because she spent the night in jail. I said, well, maybe she should have spent,
Four nights
in jail, and, you know, had it to zero. Anyway, she wasn't about to do it in this bikini.
Right.
So then they said, okay, you're free to go. Got the money. You're free to go. It was a 6-mile walk in the sunshine. So they
sunshine
back to the where they thought their car was going to be because they checked out of the hotel. They were a little nervous that it might have been towed. So they walked 6 miles back, and they were burned to a crisp.
Right.
Needless to say, feet cut up, the whole deal. Fortunately, the car was still there.
Wow.
So they hoofed it out of there, but they were, needless to say, nervous that the hotel might have had a toad because they weren't, you know.
Right, they weren't there
anymore.
Unbelievable.
But no, but I mean,
well,
can you imagine? I mean, $1,000, 18-year-old virginelles in jail overnight. I mean, it's unbelievable for no ID.
Yeah, I mean, I
can't go
to
your party.
It's license
poignant.
To be free.
Right,
that's it right
free.
There.
Your papers.
License your papers. Your papers were not in order.
That's right. They're over there in the car. Doesn't count.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, I'm just guessing here, criminal defense attorney mind coming into play, but I mean, to me, the beer cans might have had a little more to do with it than
Well, let me just tell you, I did understand that they said you can go ahead and give us a breathalyzer, and it did show up. I don't know what the limit, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't much.
Right.
It was, you know, but it was something.
What's California,
0.02? I'm going to say 0.001,
yeah.
You know, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. No,
0.001.
That's right. No, I mean, it's not, if you go down the mouthwash aisle in the store, you're over.
Yep.
So you don't even have to open it. So anyway, whatever. The point is, though, it was a little, I don't care what it is. It's not like these people were stumbling around. They mistreated them totally. No. So anyway, and the reason I mention this is
not like these are big time criminals.
No. Need to be this is easy money.
Shackled and
easy money. They also
Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They thought this was appropriate punishment for these girls.
Yeah, right. No, let me tell you though. I think I mentioned this. I drove through during the 4th July 4th the 1st that whole vacation-y time. I drove through like 5 or 6 different places. Every one of them, it was revenue central. I mean, they were stopping people for everything. In one lake up there in Idaho.
Traffic enforcement, to me, is one of the worst types of encroachments of our freedom. I mean, I drive around and I see police, I think of them as sharks. And I'm in the water.
Like, right.
At any moment, you know, one of them could turn on me and I could get bit.
No, and in fact, if they follow you for any length of time, they will find something. But, I mean, it is... Anytime you see speeding fines doubled going through any zone at all, just about.
Yeah.
There was a place, I didn't get a picture of it, there was a desert place, it was called, and I wish I'd written it down.
Great Salt
Flats. I wasn't allowed to film it because we were going by at 900 warp speed miles an hour or whatever. But
you were allowed, just technology hasn't gotten to that.
No, it hasn't. Well,
you need to push the record button, and maybe now the image will start to show up on the tape.
That's right. So, but this was out in the middle of the desert, someplace in Utah or something. It was like Nowheresville. And the sign said for the next 15 miles, it was a code enforcement test area or something where fines were tripled. Just for no reason.
Right.
They're
running a test.
Well, that's what I mean. And it was like for 15 or 20 miles. And then when you got done, it said end codes enforcement experiment test or what. No, I mean, seriously, we're talking, and they told you flat out. I mean, if they were going to stop you for anything in that 15 or 20 miles, it was like painting paint, you know, when they test paint on the roads.
Right.
I mean, this is what, but if they stopped you, I guess, for anything, you know, it was going to be 500, 1,000, whatever it was. I mean, then in one of the sudden other place, the fine for creating a wake was substantial, but you, in order not to create a wake on shore, the law said you had to be 300 yards offshore. Now, that's 3 football fields.
Right.
Now, no more, we're talking about an 18-foot motorboat. Mm-hmm. You'd have to be going like 1,000 miles an hour, 300 yards out to create a wake. But, right. But they were stopping them. At 200 yards out, you know, you're doing more than 5 miles an hour, stopping them, getting a ticket. And it turned out in that particular place, I believe you had to have, not only the court, you always have to have the regular, you know, the devices.
Life preservers.
The life preservers. But in addition to that, on that particular lake, you had to have an inflatable device.
Mm-hmm.
Besides
like a doll or something?
Well, no, like a inner tube.
A doll.
But it had to be inflated.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't fully inflated, boom.
Wow. Fine.
And they were hauling them in. I don't know what it is, but the letters to the editor in that newspaper.
Flambeau.
Oh, I mean, I would hate to see the letters that were not published. I'm telling you right now. These
no, I'd love to see those.
Oh, man.
We would post them.
I mean, really?
I'd
no,
post
no, we
them
would.
Right
I
now.
Mean, they, let me tell you, the letters that
you
were there.
You should write to them. We'll post them.
Yeah, if you're out in Lake Havasu so, and you wrote a letter and it didn't get posted.
Listen, you write to us.
Yeah, you write to
or
us.
Or anywhere in the world if you have a similar situation.
Well, or Lake Bullet. McCall up in Idaho. Lake Havasu McCall. Or McCall. If you got, if you wrote a letter.
Or any lake for that matter.
Yeah, right.
Well, I care.
If you got hosed.
If you got hosed over the 4th of July.
We would like to see those letters.
Because
I looked for some, and I'll tell you, there were some. They were, even the letters that they published were almost not suitable for a family newspaper. And I would, I mean, you can bet that the ones that they didn't publish.
Well, I'd like to see some of the stuff coming out of Virginia. You know, we reported on that increase that they made. If you're a Virginia driver in Virginia and you get stopped, now the fines are $1,500 and that kind of stuff.
Well, It is stunning to me when you realize that the voters across the country, and this was universal almost with one exception. I did see where in Price, Utah, or wherever it was, that they did vote in a new school assessment. But basically, the elections, when the people are allowed to vote on something, they vote for no taxes or less taxes. But they're always doing these end runs around it. They have fees, assessments, fines, and so forth that they're passing right and left. And I saw all of this. I mean, literally, I felt very comfortable here that in Gainesville, they're in good company. They're doing what everybody does out there, and that is they're getting their money one way or the other.
Just as an addendum to that, the new state of Florida mandatory costs for your criminal conviction have doubled as of July 1st.
Yeah, no. You know, July 1st was a banner day for places across the country. And as I say,
I mean double. You know?
That was for, if you get convicted of anything, your fines have now doubled.
Yeah, whatever
it was before, it's now double.
Well, see,
and we're talking about thousands of dollars here. The fine was $1,000, now it's $2,000. That kind
right.
of stuff.
Well, there's two different kinds of fines. There's fines and there's fees and there's costs.
Right.
Okay. Now see. What are there's these mandatory costs that are associated, they're administrative costs associated with your conviction. Like, you have to pay, you know, $50 for the police investigation.
Right.
Or, you know, $100.
The subpoena, the
right.
whatever it is.
The and victim's then witness fund
right,
or whatever.
Right, right.
And they charge you, and it was about $300 or $400 for anything, even like the most minor. This is not your fine. There's a fine, a misdemeanor in the state of Florida is fineable up to $1,000.
Right.
But this
and time in jail.
Right. But this is different. These are costs.
Right.
And so, but now whatever it was, they're.
And the filing fees all went way up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
The filing fees for an eviction went from $40 to $240.
Well, what they did also, amazingly, is they required the respondent to file a filing fee. Okay, that
right.
is, I mean, if somebody files a suit against you, you now have to pony up with a couple $100 just to say you're going to start to defend it. You know, and everybody was like, huh?
Right.
I mean, how can they? I mean, that's amazing. But
as I say, the total thing, when I read the list of stuff and this was nationwide. As I said, the city of Gainesville and the county should feel like they're in good company because they didn't do anything extraordinary. I mean, I was in towns literally from population 138 that actually had a city commission. I mean, 138, and they got 5 people that are running the show, and they had ordinances, and there were stuff posted all over the place. Up to, you know, Provo, Utah, or someplace, you know, with a couple hundred thousand or whatever, some of the other places I stayed. Not so much in Utah. They're pretty nice people.
Reminds me of my neighborhood association.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got 150 houses in there. and you get a letter on your door if like you leave your garbage can out, or you know there's like a dead spot in your lawn. You know, they'll notify you that they're going to repair your lawn at your expense.
Right.
If you don't do something about it.
And what are they? Can they put a lien on your property?
Yeah.
Can they foreclose?
I don't know how deep their power goes, but I mean, some of them are deed restrictions, and so I mean, it's pretty powerful. I mean, they can do a lot. They can cost you thousands of bucks and big headaches.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, for example, the tag on one of our cars expired one time, and the
neighborhood association cared.
Yeah, they sent us a notice. No junk vehicles. It fell into their classification as a junk vehicle.
Which vehicle is that?
This is the 81 Corvette in like perfect condition.
Right. Why didn't you turn it
Classic.
Around?
We did.
So you backed it in.
We did.
And they still were pissed.
They walked up on our property.
Oh, shoot. That's it. Kachunga.
Well, I mean, who knows when they did it? They did it when we weren't there. Loose the hound.
That's loose the hound.
That's what you need is the old. You need the motion detector. You know.
Yeah. Just open fires.
Right.
You come home. There's a dead council member on your lawn.
Well, it doesn't take much for.
But what you need is a robot that drags it to the edge of your property and throws it in your neighbor's lawn. You know.
It's now, your problem now.
That it is. It is interesting though that people. Do when they get a little bit of power like that, the neighborhood associations aren't quite as bad. But down here, at least in Gainesville, the city commissioners and county commissioners are bullies. I mean, they're just plain bullies because they can get away with it. I mean, they can send out somebody with a badge to hurt you bad on the most trivial little things you can imagine.
And really, somebody was asking me, one of our conspiracy theorist poltergeists the other day was asking me, you know, how do we know when it's getting really bad? and my statement was, or what I've thought of since then, I don't know if I said this exactly, but when you start to see all the different enforcement units,
right?
When everybody's got their own police force. That's when it's going to be really bad. And you're starting to see that more and more. I mean, there are so many different cars around with flashing lights on their roofs and official looking emblems on the sides. And these guys have easements and power to do this and that. I mean,
well, we have codes enforcement is a big one. There are all kinds of codes enforcement people. I was watching our codes enforcement fellow here on our government access channel. And in all, he just thinks that he's just doing his job kind of thing. But when you don't have to read too much between the lines to realize that this guy has an amazing amount of power. I mean, it is stunning what he can walk on your property and have you do or else shoot you or have you arrested or something. I mean, it is very broad, the codes enforcement here. I mean, and of course, we have the noise ordinance. They have the new party patrol, which is self-funded. And I was seeing that one of the things that you see when it goes too far is when the police enforcement people actually, their budget is made up of by their fines.
Right, right.
I mean, then you start to think, wait a minute, what's actually happening here? You're washing your own laundry kind of thing. I mean, you have an incentive to go out and do this because that's your budget. Here locally, of course, the sheriff has a line item of, I think, almost $1 million out of a $50 million budget that is called fines and forfeitures. I mean, it's a line item in the budget before the budget is adopted.
Well, we've talked about it several times, and I know on the last show I mentioned if you travel near the border with large amounts of cash, those agents now are empowered to take your cash, and there's big agencies racking up millions of bucks doing
that.
They
always report all the cash that they take.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you go in and you say, I'd like to have my $10,000 back. They say, well, it was only $5,000.
You know, and I walk in and I say, I need my $1.2 million.
Right.
And then you say, well, it must have been those cops. They took it.
Well, they have the whole thing. I notice here locally, for instance, there's a big deal. The bus system has also raised its rates. And that's still not covered, doesn't cover it by a long shot. I mean, I'm still, as a taxpayer, picking up about $2 every time anybody gets on the bus.
Right.
But at least and of course, the complaints are out there. People are saying, you know, the poor people, well, my woe is us.
Look, I'm telling you this, and Obama is riding this wave, and I wish it would crash before he gets elected, and that is everybody is game for these subsidies and these bailouts. I mean, I've read about several in the last couple of weeks. You got the subprime bailout. I mean, the government is talking about backing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for $5 trillion. You've got the everything down to the soft shell crab or blue crab bailout.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, they're bailing
that
out.
That over the Chesapeake?
Blue, yeah.
Blue crab the Chesapeake.
And
yeah.
They, they said that something.
$20 million they want to bail them out.
I mean, why? Well, I mean, there's none left.
Well, the other thing is.
Go get something else.
Well, and you think about it.
Do like, tobacco.
There's not. There's probably not actually 20 people that go out and fish crab over there anymore.
Anymore, right.
And then each get $1 million, they can just go retire.
Well, you know.
Jimmy's just decided that he's in the blue crab.
The blue crab is absolutely,
you know, it's like who's got their fingers in the pie. Then there's the chocolatiers bailout. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Those guys are starving to death.
That's right. The poor chocolatiers.
I'm serious. They need a bailout, man. Right.
Well, man, EJ missed the old Candyland 3 at the Playboy Mansion.
What?
They had Candyland 3. It was where your sweetest fantasies come
to
life.
To that.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing was is that he forgot that our buddy Chris does their website.
Yeah,
for the
he's
Playboy
painting chicks
teams.
And chocolate at this point.
Yeah, it was Saturday, July 12th at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, that takes care of that.
And well, next year I said think Willy Wonka meets Alice in Wonderland. Mm. Yes, I could think about that. And it's like. Man, well, next year, that's all there is to it, no question.
Well, that's all I got, Jim.
Yeah, I'm pretty much out, unless you got some other. I was looking here real quick to see what the tidbits are that I'd gotten in the mail recently.
I did see that they had the oldest recording of computer music that they ever had recorded, I guess. Now, this is not the first time a computer ever made music, but it was from the Ferranti Mark I, the first commercially available computer. Anyway, I found a copy of the thing. It does sound a lot like your Apple II thing. Here you go.
Boy, there's a hit tune if there ever was one.
Yep. You can get all jazzed up for your KFest convention right there. I think there's another one in here somewhere.
Cute.
They were laughing. But
hey,
yeah.
I just saw one other thing here I got to mention real quick. And this, I don't know if this is real or not because it sounds so crazy. The Department of Homeland Security entertains idea of immobilizing bracelets.
Yes,
for airline
I saw
passengers.
That. Now, you know, they're supposed to be shoot it with a laser, miss it by 3 feet, puts everybody down. And they're talking about what I love about this, at least in the article, and like you say, it might be a Snopes thing. But the idea is that everybody, when you get on the plane, as part of your boarding pass, you have this bracelet on that has the ability to immobilize you some way, shape, or form. Either somebody in the cabin or the pilot, you know, can, or the co-pilot or whatever, can throw a switch and everybody, you know, goes down or whatever it is. The point being that is there any chance that this could ever be used
by the terrorists.
By the terrorists, number one. You'd hack it.
Hack it in 2 seconds.
Yeah, and then how many people would, like, submit to something like that? I mean, I guess
I ain't flying with no...
No, no, no.
I'm not doing it. Scam track, here I come.
Yeah.
I mean, I am...
Scammed. They just got their big moon-a-thon the other day. Everybody moons the annual moon Amtrak train.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, there's like, you know, thousands
see,
of people.
See, that sounds like fun.
Up.
Yeah, that's
well, that's better than, you know, yeah.
That's well, they were going to, that was the same, wasn't that the same time that they were going to flush out all of the, they were going to flush out all of the terrorists in this community by having all the women run around naked.
Right. And then, of course, the men, since the terrorists don't drink alcohol, the men sit out there with a six pack and also drink that while they watch the other women. Other husbands and wives run around the house naked, and that proves that they're not terrorists.
Right.
Yeah, so
I mean,
it's a win-win
situation.
Idea,
they're supposed to, like, kill themselves or something if they see a strange woman.
Yeah,
so, you know, if they're out there slashing their wrists and everything like that.
Then you know it's the deal.
Then you know it's the terrorist. I mean, yeah. And, of course, if they make a mistake and, like, miss the vein or something, you might help them along. So, anyway, yeah. No, that's it. That's great. I just... I did notice that the D.C. Did we talk about the D.C. residents are not rushing? No, we were talking about that. They're not rushing to register their guns. And also,
No. Surprising.
Well, because of they got to be fingerprinted. $35. It's $13 a gun for you know, whatever it is. And they said 2 weeks before. I mean, wait a minute. Get this. You go out and you buy a gun. You're already illegal. So now you go down there. You got to go down and give them the serial numbers and give them. Well, where is the gun? You know, I mean, it's a, you know, chicken and egg problem. I mean, I guess you got to keep the gun in Virginia while you go get it registered or something. So anyway, yeah, or maybe somebody's got to tell you what it is, but they're not rushing to do that. But I did notice this, as always is the case, people don't realize the hidden costs in a lot of this stuff. I saw where the catfish farms, we were talking about blue crabs, catfish
right.
farms are going out of business.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, catfish.
Bail them out, man.
I mean, let me tell you, a lot of people don't realize that most of the catfish that you buy, when I was a kid, catfish.
Most of the catfish that you buy, I mean, that statement doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, most of the catfish that you buy are farm-raised.
Right.
Okay, didn't used to be that way. But now they are. And, of course, when they're on these big farms and these big, like, lake things, and they feed them, guess what? Corn.
Mm-hmm.
The corn, of course, price has gone through the ceiling, so they're starving.
Why is that, Jimmy?
Why is that, Jimmy? Because of the ethanol thing, which is to Al Gore, thank you so much, right. Energy Independence, yada, yada, yada. I mean, on and on and on.
He doesn't eat
it
catfish.
Is, what I'm saying is, well,
yeah,
maybe not.
I like catfish.
That's right. So what does he care?
Right.
But the ramifications, the unintended consequences continue to go out. I mean, I happen to really like catfish in a restaurant or whatever. And now, because of their desire to be energy independent, so... If either the price of catfish goes through the ceiling, which means that the price of gas stays down a dollar, but if I'm going to pay an extra $10 for my catfish meal, I mean, you're going to pay one way or the other. And like when you're over in, you're saving the oil in Iraq.
No, the government can bail everybody out.
$400 billion, it's costing us extra. I mean, weigh that over the gallons of oil. It's just... It's
look, the energy, czar will figure all that out. The energy / food czar.
Oh, that's right. Drug person.
Right.
Yeah.
When they have the czar's meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll figure it out and they'll issue a lengthy statement, a short, concise, multi-thousand page statement.
Right.
Right.
And that'll clear everything up and set the right prices.
That's one
for
thing.
For God's sake, Jimmy.
Yeah. You'd think I would know that.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
They know better than I do. Well, I just feel like I'm just a cork on the tide. What do I know that? So anyway, that's great. Well, anyway, I'm about done.
Martha Stewart was banned from Britain.
Yes. What? I mean, can you Martha Stewart because she was a convicted felon, right?
Martha Stewart
cannot come to Britain.
I mean, Martha Stewart.
She's a bad influence on our citizens.
Bad influence. Yep. Give me a break. They might as well.
$1 billion.
They should have banned, you know, Mister Rogers because they didn't like his sweater. Sweater was made not in England or something. Give me a break.
Sweatshop, man.
Sweatshop, right? Sweater made sweatshop. That's what they call. Can you imagine? I mean, that has got to be. What kind of bureaucrat would sit there and say... Oh,
like who proposed it, and then who seconded that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Well, you don't know, because let me tell you, as always, that's why the passive voice is always...
Right, right.
It was decided.
It was decided.
I'm just doing my job. It's here in the rule book.
Right.
Show how equal we are. We don't care if you are President Bush, Martha Stewart, or some lowlife. You all pay by the same rules. Yeah, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not in my lifetime.
Sounds great, man. Yeah. Just a couple things, actually, while I wanted to mention. I was really thinking about doing another run of T-shirts, so if anybody's interested.
We did have a request or two for those. Yeah,
we had a couple of requests. And Curtis has got a cool design. I was thinking about having the guy silkscreen up with the one, the gun on the back that says, "I'm from the government, I'm here to help you."
Right, the gun,
Reagan quote or whatever.
Always good, yeah.
Always a good one. And let's see.
I want... Jimmy Doan, save the children. Save the kids.
Save the children. Save the children. I listened to a great past show in the archives, which I am going to also put a button on the menu for the Jimmy clips and the short clips as well as the archive buttons. You can get to the archives. There's a link on there, as Jack Rose loved to say. But 70207 was a great show. I really laughed my butt off on that one, in case anybody wants to...
What was that one about?
Listen, I have no idea, but it was
okay,
pretty funny.
But you're laughing. You went back. It's a little entertainment.
I've been going back and listening to old shows and clipping clips.
We actually said something funny back then, huh?
That was
about a year ago.
Right.
A little over a year
ago. I got this new suit accountant that sits next to me, and he's just going, "What are you laughing at?" And I'm like,
"Oh, God."
You know, you don't want to know.
might want to know.
No, he might. Actually, he would. He did. He's listening to the show. He likes it. I was watching this. If you guys ever want on another great gas thing, I'm give a little plug for my buddy, the amazing Jonathan. Look him up on YouTube. He's pretty funny.
Oh, talk about a funny guy.
Yeah, that guy
is
hysterical, man. He's great. Especially his little bouts with Chris Angel. They're pretty funny. But yeah, he's a magician, comedian.
He's mostly a comedian.
Yeah. But he does some really good magic occasionally. But Anyway, that's really all I got to say. Write to Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
Right.
And if you see us around anywhere on a vote for us on a podcast directory or somewhere like that.
Yeah. I did notice that when people were doing the searches, it says somebody searched for the best libertarian podcast, and we're number one on that.
Yeah. Look at that, man.
Hey, Jimmy, are you going to post your statement that you made at the library dedication this last week?
Oh, that's right. Good question. I didn't tape it.
Oh,
how
dang.
Did you not tape it?
I didn't tape it. No.
I bet it's taped, though.
It might be. I'll have to check and see. That would be... It was good. I did well. I did. I made him laugh.
I heard that you did really good.
I did well. Actually, I did very well at that. I had... I thought... And it was great. I mean, I'll tell you, the people in Orem, Utah, down there at the new University of... Let's see, it's called UVU. I think it's the Utah Valley University. Uh-huh. It's called...
And 190,000 square foot library.
Yeah, brand new, from up from 30,000, and they are just I'm telling you, those are the nicest people you'd ever ever want to meet. I'm telling you, the head, two of the super honchos, put us all in the car, drove us all over the place, saw a fabulous dinosaur museum that was like second to none.
Oh, crazy over that.
I mean, really fantastic. But I want to tell you right now, the people at UVU, which just started July 1st, it was used to be something else. Now it's a Utah Valley University. It's like a mile from Brigham Young. And I'll tell you, the people that run that show, Nancy Smith and Bill Bridges, the nicest folks you'd ever want to meet in your life, and the hospitality just beyond beyond anything that I would ever do for anybody.
On par with Gene's.
Yeah, on a par with Gene. No, Gene, of course, is in second to absolutely none. That was... when a guy goes out to clean out the Whole Foods restaurant and put it all in his refrigerator home just for us, I don't know. That.
Oh, man, he sent a car, 100 miles away to pick me up.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who introduced you hosers to him.
And you would have
been out there. I said, I'm on the rat.
He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you.
I'm the rattiest rat bastard ever bastard rat. I know.
That's it.
You hoser.
You hoser.
That's right.
All right, well, I'm going to go.
All right, rock
thanks,
and roll,
everybody.
See we'll see you later.
Bye.